Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Hey, Church Planner, this is Pete Mitchell.
And this is Peyton Jones.
And I think I feel the energy is a little bit lower on this call than normal.
Oh,
I'm just saying. I mean, is it really too early for you to record?
Not normally, but today, yeah. I mean, I woke up like 10 minutes before we were scheduled to record, which never happens to me. My body clock wakes me up usually somewhere in the 4 o'clock hour these days. And
are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah.
What time do you go to bed?
Well, it depends. That's all over the place. Usually before 10, you know, it's like I'm 12 and I have to be in bed by 10 or 11 or 10 or whatever age it was where you were now able to stay past 10. So the old brain is kind of waking up this morning.
Well,
I'm working hard on discipleology, kind of marathon hours again, but not the book this time. Book does go to print today, but I'm actually, I've been working on the audio guides. It's been a lot, man. Actually, I reached out for prayer on Facebook and I found out people will definitely respond if you ask for prayer, man. Normally I put stupid stuff on there. No one cares, but I asked for prayer. Wow. Everybody came out. I'll pray for you. So,
well, that's cool.
It was,
yeah, I saw that actually. Yeah. What was your prayer request for?
Working on this project.
Is that what it was? Okay. Cause yeah. I remember I saw it and I was like, should I laugh? Do the laugh emoji? Cause he needs prayer. Or should I be like, oh no.
I think people feel sorry for you when you ask for prayer. Like, it was kind of funny because, you know, Americans, we don't typically show weakness. And I wasn't like, oh, help me, everybody. It was more like, hey, I'm out of my depth on this. This is big. I can feel the weight of this project. I can feel big time God in it. I feel like I'm a little overwhelmed at times on it. Like, Lord, I need you. I'm out of my depth here. And I just put on there that I was out of my depth, you know, as usual. And whenever you're doing something that God's involved, you're usually out of your depth. And some people were giving me advice, hey, you know, during that time, you know, when I feel insecure, and it was kind of funny. So, but I definitely appreciated all the people coming out saying, hey, I got you. And I got to trust that this is going to be a good project.
Well, I think it's interesting to say the least, because you've been putting a lot of work in it. I know that you are fully invested in it. Like, everything that I've heard, you're like, look, this is the one that is going to help the most amount of people. And I just look at it as a marker and I'm like, I hope he's right. Like, yeah. All the work he's putting in, I really hope people take advantage of it.
Well, I think it stands to. I was talking with my editor over at Zondervan yesterday, and we were joking around. I said, I think this is the book that actually justifies you for publishing me, because for my topic, I've done well. You know, for plantology, that they're happier they wouldn't assign me again. But those aren't really books that that have a huge market. Church planting books aren't like, you know, you're not going to find them at Walmart or Barnes & Noble, right? But yesterday we were joking around. I said, you know, you might actually, you know, because I always picture him getting heat for me. Because, like I said, I haven't hurt Zondervan, and it's not like my books don't sell, but they're kind of, I mean, Zondervan doesn't have to publish church planning books. You know, they'd be fine not doing it. Like, I don't know that it's a good economic decision for them, But and you and I know this, like, had we gone into just helping pastors and leaders, you know, we would have been probably, and people will laugh when I say this, we did all the same stuff that Carrie Newhoff did. I know, because we, you know Carrie from the early days, and everything.
Because we beat him to the punch.
Everything he was doing, we were doing back then, except for like giving out Starbucks gift cards and yada yada. And he's a friend of ours, so you know, I say this with great respect for what he's done, but he had a broader audience. Our audience is like this niche audience, and you and I at a certain point we realized, because we were doing like the Bible Owner Circle, and we just realized it's the same as the publishing. There's no money in church planning. There's just not. And that's
because think about Exponential, right? They make a grip of money, and they started out really catering to church planners.
They did. But even back in the beginning, their audience was only 50% church planners, and they actually made a conscious shift to move to 75% non-church planner focused, because they knew, like, we're just going to keep shrinking if we focus on church planting. Like, they started shrinking at a certain point because the church planting boom and interest was dying. We had that boom, and then everyone realized, oh, this is hard. I thought this would be like having my own youth group, but with adults, you know, like people just come to hear my jokes and laugh at my stories. And then they found it was actually really hard work. Like, it's mission work if you do it right. And so
mission work, at the same time, it's running a business.
I feel sometimes like if I had a dime for everyone that I know in ministry that used to be in ministry that tried to plant a church and it broke him, that's just a common story. Like, you meet so many people that tried to plant churches and failed. And it so church planter, not to encourage you or anything in the new year, but there will be times where you will question, why in the heck am I doing this? Why? And Lloyd Jones used to say, the only thing you can fall back on is your calling. Did God call you to do this or not? If you just thought it was a great idea, or you wanted your own church or a paycheck, good luck. Good luck with that. Unless you're one of those guys who goes, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to raise, you know, $5 million to plant my church, and you just pay for everything that you need, including crowds and, you know, you name it. You just pay for everything. Money can buy a crowd. Money can buy, a church. You just need $5 million. And this podcast isn't really about that. You can tell I'm a little salty this morning, right, when I'm waking up.
I don't know that you're salty. I just, I hear someone who's half asleep.
That's it. I don't feel salty. Like, I'm not angry about this, but I feel like I'm negative Nancy this morning. Like, here I am. Yeah, church planner, you know, it's going to suck. It's going to hard. But that is kind of the deal, you know. It's a niche audience. So what, going back to the book, that is me waking up. Holy crap. We start off with the book. Going back to the book, though, I do. I think it has a much broader appeal. But it's one of those things, right? It also, if you talk evangelism or prayer, even though they're universal topics, they're ones that people are like, both of those make me feel bad. I think disciple making is in a boom right now. And I think it's actually coming in at the right time. But what I'm excited about is kind of the opposite of the church planning thing. Our message from day one, and I remember this because the very first New Breed conference that we threw in Wales was, my topic was Smile Stupid, It's Supposed to Suck. And it did. Like, it sucks at times. And I had been planting for years at that point. I was 3 years in, and my church was growing. But it sucked and it was hard, and but it was worth it, you know. Same with Long Beach. I mean, you guys remember I gave that message over and over. It's going to suck. It's going to be hard. You have to roll up your sleeves. You're going to get spiritually attacked.
Were trying to get people to quit.
Yeah. I was trying to get rid of all the people that were just going to complain about how hard it was and how much it sucked. So once all the diehard and hardcore people that were like, yeah, cool, bring on the suck, I was like, okay, we can get somewhere because these people are going to pray. And but anyways, at the end of the day, it's the opposite on this message. This message is, it's not hard. This is easy. If you want to make disciples like Jesus did, it's actually really easy. You can do this. And, you know, it's, and I say it's easy because Jesus says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. He's going to do the heavy lifting. Even the disciples came back and they're like, Lord, the demons listen. But they were excited, man, because they actually found Jesus was right. God was, the Holy Spirit was doing all the heavy lifting. So it's pretty cool. All right. Should we have to smile. This is like Shadow of Christmas, right?
When is this episode even airing?
I don't know, but it'll still be fun to talk about our topic, which is all I want for Christmas. I will not complete that because you complete me. But what is the if money were no object, Pete, and you could have anything you want? I know if this airs after Christmas, you can validate it by saying Jamie got me socks, but and I know she gets points if you're like, she got me socks to put over like the barrels of my guns so you don't scratch. That would make you very excited. But you're going to come back and say, yeah, I got this instead. But if money were no object, what would you want? Do you want a tank to park in the driveway? Apache helicopter for the backyard? Like what's your dream Christmas gift? First off, let's start with when you're a kid. But I think that's a great question. What would have been your dream Christmas gift as a kid? Your Red Ryder rifle that, you know, from Christmas Story.
Well, see, that's a different question than what you'd originally said.
But we should start there. We should work our audience up.
Oh, so what do I? Well, see, that's a real problem for me because, as the way I like to say it, I'm an adult. If I want something, I go buy it. Like I don't need anything for Christmas because I'm just gonna go buy it. You know what I'm saying? Like there's
yeah, that kind of happens when you get our age. You actually have maybe a little bit more money to just buy things you
want. Well, or you're just stupider and you're like, hey, anyway, let me get that lift kit for my truck, you know, whatever.
That's right, because the Jeep is the new gun charger slash underwear. Like that's the new. If you know, you guys know on this podcast that we've gone through like tree rings with Pete, like stages of development, where he'll talk about a topic, and we'll do it for like months. And the guns one lasted years, but now we're on to the Jeep.
Well, I don't even know that we're really on to the Jeep. It's just. My ego says I need a lift kit and 37-inch tires on the Jeep.
See, I think, yeah, see the, working out was another one, right? That was another topic. Yeah.
Well, that one I still do. Come on.
I know. Still have guns.
405 so. On bench, baby. I'm a 50-year-old punching 405 on bench.
Wow. You know, I can do a full set with 45s on either end of the bar right now. I've just gotten back in and I'm such a lightweight dude.
Everyone's got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Three times a week, man. I'm going for it since the book. So that's great. You know, so.
Oh, look at that. Look at that little bump you got right there.
It's little. It's coming.
It's a little bit of fat. Don't worry. One day it'll turn.
It's a lot of fat right now. Yeah. Good? Yeah. It's a lot of fat, baby. So anyways, yeah, so it would be cool if you put, like, guns on the Jeep. Remember that cartoon from the
80s? 100%. I want a technical on it. You bet. I keep eyeballing the 50 cal.
Yeah.
You know, so, and the problem is that's $7,500. And as stupid as I am with money.
Yeah, you would do it.
I'm like, do I do $7,500 there or do I do 10 grand for the lift kit? You know what I'm saying? Because I can't. It's too stupid to do $17,500.
It is, but this is the thing. You have two chances in a year to do something really stupid. You've got your birthday and Christmas. So you could spread them out. You just got to wait.
Do it.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
I don't know, man. Can I get a belt-fed 50 cal? I'm just saying.
You got to do the more stupid one on your birthday.
The more stupid one?
Or you got to, or, you know, depending, on Christmas, you could do the thing where you work it like you know, Jamie's purse gun trade-off, you know, where you just get her an amazing, stupid gift, and then you get your stupid gift.
All right, so our small group, we've got two other couples in it, and one's the pastor and his wife, well, one of the pastors and his wife, and they hunt. Like, the pastor hunts all the time.
I'm going to get you a boar, baby.
And his wife will hunt with them. And it was really funny because a couple of weeks back, they went out and she took her, she's got this, she's really proud of her AR-15 because it's got dog prints on it. And she's like, look, it's cute. It's got dog prints. That was why she wanted it.
So she goes to Bible study and talks about her AR-15.
Oh, dude, we have show and tell at my Bible
only
study.
In Texas. Only in Texas.
Oh, dude, oh my gosh. Like, passing them around. Oh, check.
You guys are the Democrats' poster child of hate.
We really are. But so she goes with her husband. They've got a ranch. Her family's got a ranch. And so they were out at the ranch and she shoots a deer with her AR-15 and she goes to fill out the, you got to have, you know, your hunting license and all that. She goes to fill it out and she realizes, oh, yeah, gun season starts at midnight. I'm still in bow hunting season. So she did it illegally.
Oh, man.
And so she had to call the game warden and, you know, she got like a $600 fine. And, but they were like, we never have anyone self-report themselves. So you're like a first, right?
Wow.
And so like, it was funny because Isaac, the husband, he goes, yeah, I did the math. I figured it cost us $16 a pound for that deer.
Man, just, that's crazy.
Because of the stinking fine that they had. But anyway, so my point is like she hunts, not a lot, not as much as Isaac, but she hunts, the wife. And then the other couple, the wife just got her 380 as like, I don't know, her carry gun or something. And I'm like, will you stinking women please take my wife to the range who still never shot a gun? Like, take her and show her this is fun. This is cool.
You got to do a double date, Pete. You're not hooking this up right. You got to make it a double. You got to go get some dinner.
And I don't have kid care anymore. I can't go on dates.
Oh, you do the kids stay at home. Kids don't eat each other. Don't eat the pets. Don't play with matches. You're good. Leave them at home. They're fine.
Yeah. Well,
how old is your oldest?
14. He's fine by himself.
You're good.
Mackenzie just turned 11. She's the one that freaks out if we're gone more than an hour.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My youngest does that too.
Yeah.
She's 12 and she still does that.
Yeah. Mm. I got a couple more years before I can leave her alone for extended periods of time. And she doesn't have a phone. Like Luke's got a phone, so I don't worry about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, a couple years, you know, you're gonna be happy.
So what would you buy for Christmas if you could, anything you wanted?
You know, I came up with that question. You know, Pete, I think I'd buy myself the gift of time.
Oh my
God. One thing we can't ever get more of.
It's so bad.
I know it is bad. I don't know, man, but when does that freaking I actually don't know, but I could tell you my childhood one. That one'd be easier for me. So you went for the adult one. I'll opt to answer the child one. I had a dream Christmas as a kid, and the only thing that could have made it better, I'll tell you in a minute, but that year, and I still have a picture of it somewhere. My mom died. I raided the family albums. My brother, it was just me and my brother. My brother's like, nah, man, I don't want any of those pictures. But I grabbed one of the ultimate Christmas. You know how like when Christmas time, I don't know if your parents did this, but the gifts from each other and the family and, you know, your Nana or whatever, those were all wrapped in under the tree. But the one that the ones that came from Santa weren't wrapped. Like, Santa didn't wrap his presents in the Jones house. So you come out and Santa was good to me. I'm telling you, I came out and around the corner and everything's out of the box. Like, Santa, you know, he doesn't bring box toys from the store. He brings, I remember one year, my parents had me take the trash out and I went out to the trash can and I saw one of the boxes from Santa and I stood there at the trash can and cried. My mom comes out and goes, "What's wrong?" I go, "Santa's not real." And she goes, "No." She goes, and this is how gullible I was. She goes, "No, you know, sometimes Santa, he runs out of toys and he can quick hit a store before if too many kids want the same one, he can hit a store and he's Santa never litters, Peyton, never. And so you should be happy about that. Santa's modeling good behavior for us." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So, yeah, I was a little bit of a numbskull then, just like now.
It's too bad you were 16 at the time.
16? I was old enough to vote. I was old enough to drink. What are you talking about? I was living at home, getting ready to go to college. My mom didn't want me moving in with Andrea. Andrea still keeps a ruse going that Santa's real for me. But it's funny because we all have that moment where we realize, but this year, Santa was good to me. And this is what happened. I come around the corner. There is the AT-AT. And he is just, you know, loud and proud, standing on the sofa. But underneath him is an army of 10 snowtroopers and the AT-AT pilot. Like, my stepdad built me an army, you know, that I still can't get over that. But there was so much that year. It was like a banner year for us. Like I also got the Dungeons and Dragons playset. Like if you guys don't know, you don't know. But there were two cool playsets. Well, actually, there were four. There's the Death Star, right? You've seen that one with the trash compactor at the bottom. You know that one, right? There was also, why am I freezing up now? The other playsets, the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier, you only got one kid per school. There was like a limit. You know, you might have known, if you're lucky, one kid at your school had the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. Massive, as big as a kid. Like, you could sleep on it as a bed. I'm not exaggerating. It was bigger. It was taller than we were. And then the other one was, okay, now I had them all in my mind when I started to list them off. Okay, so whatever. This one was Fang Fortress, and it was a giant snake head that was like a dungeon. And that thing was sitting there too. Like I got multiple, like the AT-AT and Fang Fortress. Like, if you got those, you went to school and you're like, "Dude, I got AT-AT." And all the kids are like, "No way." But like, to go and say I got Fang Fortress and AT-AT, like, it was freaking rad. And my buddy got Millennium Falcon. So I didn't have that. Never had that. Never bought it since. It's like an unfulfilled dream. Maybe that's what I want this year, is a Millennium Falcon. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know what we're doing, New Year's Eve.
I don't.
We're going to Disney World again.
You're going?
I have to. Not Disneyland. Right. I don't go to California.
No, no, no.
I'm not turning to a killer salt. I'm done with that.
Why are you going though? Normally you send the kids off, right? Don't you?
Disney World.
Oh. Oh, just to Disneyland.
Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. I got you. Okay. All right.
Yeah, so that's where we're going on New Year's Eve. We're flying out to Florida, meeting some friends out there.
Nice.
Staying for...
Who are you meeting? People I know?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe
California
Steven.
Friends are meeting us out there for Disney World. Vinny. Our real California friends.
I did hit up Vinny for New Breed. Vinny, if you're listening... I'm just saying, I know you're not, but New Breed, end of your tax donation. I'm just saying.
This will probably air in March, so.
Yeah, yes, it actually probably will be later. I'll ask Brooks to schedule it for next week. Some people think Paul just worked with his hands, and he did. but he also raised funds. Don't believe me? Check out Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 10, and Romans 15. In fact, when the kingdom of God catapulted forward, there was usually a kingdom-minded businessman or woman behind it, like Priscilla and Aquila. If you're going to raise funds, though, do it well. Our partners, Reliant, can help you put rocket fuel in your fundraising tank. I wish I'd had this when I was church planning. But Reliant can partner with you to get you the training and coaching you need to raise that support, as well as provide you with employment services you may need, like payroll, health benefits, and more. To learn more, check out Reliant.org/CPP. Okay, so here's the deal, right? I got to tell you a story. And it's hard because my brain is still waking up. And I have to do an interview right after this. So we'll see how that goes with one of my very favorite authors.
Which is why I'm not doing it.
I know. But dang my brain and my phone charger and me staying up late working hard and being tired and needing sleep and hitting the gym 3 times now. So I actually do sleep when I need to. It's kind of weird. But, all right, so a couple weeks ago, we asked the church to pray and fast. And we said, look, guys, we are needing to get out of the home. And I've talked about this on the podcast many times, but it's one of those God stories. And you remember, I have multiple stories about where we meet. Like, each church plant has an amazing story. It's always where God turns up. Because where you're going to meet actually really matters. Think of it. The proximity that people have to the church that you're planting, it's not that God can't grab someone from 2 cities over. That often happens because people work, you know, they commute to work and they, you know, they might talk, hey, come to my church. But the reality is when you go into a neighborhood, you're actually embodying Christ's presence in that neighborhood. It's a big deal. God really cares about that. So so today, for our Christmas episode, which might air in January, unless I remember to talk to Brooks, this is the thing, is that God really cares. He really moves in this area. And I've had everything from, I can't even bring myself to summarize the first one with Pillar. I just, it involves someone dying. And so I can't. That one needs too much context, but
Do San Pedro next.
Yeah, I mean, but
that involves someone dying too. Do San Pedro next. Do San Pedro next.
Yes, it does. But Refuge, Long Beach.
Remember, by the way, I totally remember Charlie, your co-pastor at Refuge Long Beach, after the second person died, that opened up the opportunity. He goes, "I am never going against Peyton."
Yeah,
like. People seem to die when they're not moving out of the way.
Well, that's the thing, though, is God, it's awesome. I mean, guys, I get your people praying and fasting, because we did it for 1 week, and this is what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to get in a car and drive around. We had assigned we're in the Tri-City area of North County, San Diego, which is Oceanside, Vista, and Carlsbad. So where those 3 cities connect, that's where we are. So when people ask us, where's your church? We always laugh and say, depends on what week. We're rotating homes right now. We might be in Carlsbad, might be in Vista, might be in Oceanside. Just depends on the weekend. And but it's Tri-City. So we assigned to the team different cities. And we said, wherever we end up, it's fine, because we know that we're going to multiply and plant out in some of these different cities anyways. And so we got the church praying and fasting. And the day that everything happened, we were supposed to meet at noon. We were supposed to be driving at noon. And in a light prayer walking, it's like prayer driving. So we're going to go to these areas and just pray over them, you know, in the car and what have you. And we did this Refuge Long Beach, and we had an amazing story that connected us to Bixby Park. That's how we ended up there. Another God story. I'll just quickly say, when we were there, it was Charlie, Julie, Andrew, and I, and we're praying, and we go into this neighborhood, and I feel like I know where I want to plant, but we're praying, and right then, it was either Julie or Andrew, it was like, Lord, just give us a sign, show us where you want us to be. And the window was down, and there was that African-American choir, you know, they all, right as we round the corner of Bixby Park, they're performing. African-American choir, and it's beautiful. I mean, I still have the video of it because we started video, but the girls like literally started crying, like, oh my gosh, Lord, it was so beautiful. And it was right there. And then we get out and we start talking to them. We listen, we wait for them to finish, and then they say, oh, this is our church picnic. And they said, you know, we do this once a year. And one of the guys that was there, we said, oh, so you don't meet in this community center? Because at first we're like, oh, okay, so they meet in this park. They said, no. They said, in fact, no church meets in this park. Wesley, come on over here. Guy's name is Wesley. He comes over. And they said, Wesley manages that community center. And we're like, what? Like, yeah, Wesley, because these guys want to know if their church can meet in the community. This is on a Saturday, right? And we start talking to him. He's like, hey, I'll take care of you guys. Yeah, what, you want to rent it? We're like, yeah. So that's how that story came to be. Well, I had put some calls out and some texts out multiple places, and nothing was coming back. And of course,
you know, like now? This. Now you switch back.
Yeah, modern day. Yeah, so going back to modern. But schools nowadays are so, we used to pay like $1,200 a month for Luther Burbank in Long Beach. Now you're lucky to get somewhere in between $4,000 to $8,000.
Yeah,
$4,000 to $8,000. Yeah, schools, they found out, oh, we can charge these churches a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm like, why don't people just buy their or rent their own building for what they're getting charged for the school? It's ridiculous.
Well, to rent a place in my area, on average, because the square footage, price per square foot varies, but we're looking at an average around $18,000 a month, right? But you get a full time. But what church plant that's meeting in the homes can afford an $18,000 jump, right? A month. So the guy, one of the guys from a church calls up and he says, he starts talking to me and he's like, Peyton, yeah, you know, I got your email and yada, yada. And yes, we are very interested in having a church meet here. When are you thinking? And I said, well, I was thinking in the morning on the off time that your church
doesn't
meet.
Where are you talking about now? Wait, hold on. Keep your story straight, dude. Where are you now?
Oh, I'm in modern day. You should.
Okay, you're in modern day, but where?
Pete, we should
you said,
finish each other's sentences. No.
Where are you? Like, what's the building? You just like jumped in. What are we talking about?
Told you, I only woke up like
not care even about an that. Hour Answer ago. My question. Get on with the story. Where are you?
I like stringing out a bit. It's fun. So basically, Carlsbad, California, where I live, right? And this is like I could walk to it, Pete.
I don't know where you're walking to.
It's a church in Carlsbad. Okay,
that's all you needed to say.
I was getting to that. So anyways, it's a church. And it's right near my house, and it's got a bunch of old people in it, right? And so, you know, and maybe like 40 old people. And there's a bigger mega church connected to it, right? It's over in Oceanside. And this is our satellite campus. Funny enough, I went there for a year and a half to support a church planter friend of mine who was there. I also, so not only did I go there, I also trained the North American Mission Board church planner training out of that building for years. And they were super cool to me, super generous. Now they're a part of NAM, right? Like they're Southern Baptist. But even before that, I was a part of the pastor who retired, who was trying to find a church. I was with another church at that time called Generations. And I was a part of that meeting to try to say, hey, you should let us use it. So I've got history with this place. And like I said, it's right by my house. So what happened was this guy calls up And he's like, yeah, you know, well, you know, we could probably host you in the afternoon. I'm like, oh, dude, I probably couldn't do that. Afternoon church sucks. No, nobody wants to go to church midday or afternoon, like on a Sunday. It's just like low energy, yada, yada. And he goes, well, you know, he goes, it's interesting. In January, we did just make a decision to move our service to 9 a.m. And I said, well, I mean, even if we could get in at 11, he goes, well, that could be tough because those people hang around and talk for a long time. I'm like, look, don't be in our way if we're not in their way. And we'll get in there. We probably only need 15 minutes to set up and get started. I mean, we're not running this huge production. As long as our people know how to use a soundboard. And like I said, I'm very familiar with this church. He goes, okay. He goes, yeah, you know what? Actually, that might work. And, but one thing is we have this potluck once a month and, you might not be able to meet there then. And I said, listen, we were just wrestling through a couple weeks ago, whether or not we even just wanted to go on a mission one Sunday a month. It looks like that question's answered now. It just seemed like at every point, like God was leading and guiding. And he comes back and he says, okay, now the money part. Oh, and he mentioned, he said, you know, I looked you up, you know, cause he didn't know who I was. He says, I looked you up. I saw, you know, you're really into church planting. And he goes, I think this could be the Lord because we're really trying to get back into church planting. And I would really value, a comment, you know, I mean, a conversation, gosh, my brain this morning, conversation on this, but we get to the money part. Okay. The money, you probably want to know about that. He goes, how about $300? I'm thinking $300 an hour. So I say, oh, $300 an hour, hourly rate? It's kind of doable, you know? Let's say we took it for 3 hours. It's still cheaper, you know? It's going to be shy of $4,000. If it's 2 hours, you know, or $2,400, that's okay. It's within budget, I guess. Still a stretch. And he goes, no, $300. Like, I'm thinking a week? And he goes, a month. Can you believe that? And he goes, no, listen, we're really wanting to see churches planted in North County. Like he goes, I'm so passionate about it. And he said, look, it may say, and he names the church. I don't want to embarrass anyone online, but he says the name of the church. And he says that name may be on the building and we may be Southern Baptist, but that church shouldn't belong to the Southern Baptist and doesn't belong to, you know, name of the church. He goes, listen, this is God's church. And if you're wanting to plant, I got to believe that God is opening a door for you. So that was cool and all, right? Like unbelievably cool. And the guy was so cool. Like I told him, I said, you know, I've been in this game for a long time. And I have very rarely met somebody like you. I've always tried to be the person who talks like you. But I said, I very rarely met someone on the other side of the table who is so kingdom minded that this is how they behave. And I could just tell, like, me and this guy are going to be friends, right? It was a God connection. I have a feeling he's going to be the next pastor when the pastor of the mega church retires. What was kind of cool is, and this to me is so God. Okay, this is on a Wednesday, right? So this happens 30 minutes before we're supposed to ride around and pray. So when I get together with the team, I say, guys, we're not driving around. I think we got our building, but we are going to grab coffee and we're going to sit and pray. And so we did that. But being able to go to the church and just tell them the story, but it gets better. There's one more piece to it. Monday night before this, Bo and Mary, this is my team, Anna and me, we had gone to dinner with Ralph and Ruby Moore. And we do this every month. We go get dinner. And before we broke up, I just, Ralph is, when you ask Ralph for advice, he usually has like solid gold for you. The guy's been in leadership for so long. He's done so much. And every time I've asked him for advice, it's really good. And I'm like, man, I need to ask that guy for advice more. I ask him, I say, hey, Ralph, getting out of the home, so expensive here. I know it was like that in Hawaii. Any pointers you got for me? And Ralph could tell you a million stories, but the first time since I've known him, he goes, huh, no, I don't.
What was the question again?
The question was getting out of the house an expensive community. Any advice for how to wangle that? Because you got to make this financial jump. But when you're in the house, nobody's given that much, right? And he goes, huh, well, no, I don't have anything. Let me think about it. He calls me up Wednesday night after I've had this conversation. He goes, hey, I've been sitting here and the Lord keeps telling me I need to call you and I keep putting it off because you asked me that question on Monday and I felt like the Lord gave me something for you, but it's not flashy. It's not exciting. It's not profound. I feel like you're supposed to be. And he says it like this. He doesn't say it like advice. He says it like the Lord gave me something to tell you. And he said, you're supposed to be in like a community church building, like an old church building that has, you know, maybe just a handful of old people meeting in it. That's ideal for you right now. And that's what you need to do. And here's why. Boom, 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 boom. And I was like, Ralph, you say the Lord's been putting this on your heart for a while. He goes, yeah, I keep not calling you. And finally, I was like, there was the Lord just poking me. I had to just pick up the phone. And I said, Ralph, let me tell you a story. And I told him the story from that morning. And he starts laughing. And I said, man, that is the confirmation that just is like the icing on the cake for this whole thing. So that's my story of the building. And it was pretty cool, man. So just listen, when you're church planting and God turns up like that, this is why you do it. This is the fun stuff. God just turns up. The prophetic stuff, the God showing himself to be alive, Jesus is still with us, walking amongst the golden lampstands. To me, that's the best part of this whole deal.
Wow. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. I like it anyways. I just saw Jamie come home in the back window. I saw her walk in.
No, there's someone just knocked on my door and rang the doorbell. That's why my dogs are going crazy.
No.
Yeah, no, that's heavy, dude. Like, and I mean heavy in a way that, like, when you can see God show up like that, that's cool. Like, because it's just that confirmation that you're doing the thing that God wants you to do. And that, to me, see, that's the whole key right there, right? Like, I wouldn't care. Like, my family, we want to move. We want to move to this other city. I wouldn't care if this is where God wants me, if it was clear. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was, like, totally clear, look, this is where you're supposed to be. Even though I don't like it here, and I like these other cities more that we keep looking at, it would be like, well, yeah, but if it's clear this is where God wants me, then I don't really care if I don't like it, because I just want to be doing what God wants me to do, because I figure he knows best, and that could be for any reason, right? Like, absolutely. Any reason. So when you hear something like that, to me, that's just like, that's cool, because you know this is where we're supposed to be right now.
Right.
And then it doesn't even, like, nothing else matters.
Yeah.
And having someone, you know, because it's funny, I was thinking about this as you're telling the story. So when we were in California, you know, we were part of the church. They changed their name. I think now they're Neighborhood Church. I think that's the name of it. They changed it like before we left. But before that, we were the Branch. And I remember because you made the joke. You're like, oh, it's going to be one of those. He's going to have one of those conversations with the sending pastor. Oh, you're the Branch. I'm the vine. You know, you got to do what I do. And it was funny because the pastor, Justin, he told me he listened to that episode. He goes, and that's true. That's happened. but so when they were moving out of, or I should say we were moving out of a community center, they found this old church that was like you just described, right? All seniors that were there. It was just, you know, who's left at that church. So it's a dying church. And I think they'd approached him several times. And I think, you know, Justin finally went to him and goes, look, I'm not a salesman. I know you said you didn't want to do this, but we got a big children's group. And you're telling me that, like, you need help with the children's group. Like, maybe we can come together. And it ended up being a beautiful partnership where, like, the old church, I don't remember if they met early and we met later, which is probably what it was, because a lot of older people, you know, they're used to like the 9 o'clock church, and a lot of the younger people are like, oh, I can go to church at 11. Woo! You know, it's like, I can sleep in. So that's probably what it was, but it ended up being such a great synergy. Like, even, you know, and they were two different denominations. Like, one was Baptist, and I don't know which Baptist it was. And I can't remember what the church we went to was, but I know it wasn't a Baptist church.
Listeners, this is Peyton. We hate to cut Pete off, but Pete's story went on for about another 35 minutes. And due to time and the fact that this is a family program, we've had to edit it out. So with that, guys, Merry Christmas. Thanks for joining us on the Church Planner Podcast. And we'll see you next time. Remember, if you want to reach the ones nobody's reaching, you better go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing.